B-Pod Studios.
All right, it is time for Bring the Heat. I got to tell you, it's brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Is your AC revved up and ready for summer? Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you. Let's see what we got today.
So Mike Trout secured the bag. Actually, in $100 bills, it would be like 2.5 bagsters worth of bag for the guy. So awesome. The Phillies need to start looking at something else to be the final piece on this team.
Well, look, I'm not worried about the final piece at this moment.
I got to tell you.
I'm going to live in the moment.
Guys, listen, because we've had a couple people call. Their final piece isn't a position player. Their final piece is a pitcher. They don't look. They can win without Mike Trout. They got enough to win without Mike Trout. They need a pit. They need another starter, left-handed starter.
Just listening to Colin Cowherd. He just said that Bryce Harper, who signed with the increasingly awful Phillies. I can't believe that. I hope no Philadelphia sports personality ever goes on that guy's show.
All right. Well, we'll see if that happens. I'm not the police. I'm not playing cop.
Speaking of the Embiid trying to replicate people's games, has anybody noticed he's been trying to work in the Harden-type, you know, deep step-back jumper?
Yes.
Not so much on the threes, but on those mid-range. And if he can, you know, create separation with that, he's going to have like a Kevin Durant-level mid-range game.
Yes, brother. You're right on. He did one on Sunday. Milwaukee was awesome.
Cuz, Jason, this is your Phillies fan here. I listened to your answer on Friday, cuz. It'll do something at the trade deadline. Back-to-back home runs by Hector. I mean, they're going to have to score 60 runs a game. What if we're out of it by the trade deadline? I'm worried about the starting rotation. Please.
Look, they're going to need some time to come together on all fronts as a team. That's not going to all be solved coming up on the 28th, 9 days from now when they opening pitch of the season. But they got so much offensive firepower, that should be what sustains them. You said it. They're going to have to bash their way.
Listen, you play this ballpark, I think it's okay. I'm not worried about the rotation because they're not going to be out of it. They should have enough. They should have enough. I mean, you got a good bullpen. You got a couple guys you can count on. I hear you. You need that guy, but I think you should be having enough to stay in the race until July.
What's next?
Hey, Philly, just screwed up. You should have signed Machado and Harper. Machado is, you know, a bargain. You see what Trout got? You're waiting 2 years for Trout? What are you waiting for now? The only way you can save this is by getting a lights-out bullpen. Go out and sign Kimbrel. Let's go!
See, I agree.
Okay.
That okay was awesome.
That was good. I like it.
I thought the okay guy would be ranting on Trout. Trout is staying with the Angels. He's not welcome at Eagle games anymore. Okay.
I think he's right. He's right. Go get Kimbrel.
You know, as I sit here and think about this NBA season, I can't help but think it's been a successful year no matter what. Because Nick Young doesn't play for anybody in the NBA. And isn't that really a good thing no matter what?
Sure. I hate Nick Young. I always hated Swaggy P.
This is a weird bring the heat today for some reason. What's next, Andrew?
Anthony, Jason, hi. Ooh. I'm sure you heard about our little mishap with Carlos at the PlayStation. But I want you to know that won't happen again. I've replaced all the PlayStations in the clubhouse with Dance Dance Revolution arcade machines.
Ooh.
My favorite song is the Celine Dion remix. I've got the high score.
That guy is a great game.
He's a rival. You know what I like to see? I like to see you and him do a segment of dueling games.
Ooh, I think that's a tremendous idea. It would be like an ambidextrous nature of approach when you're dealing with the logistics of impressionism and ultimately entertainment and how you present yourself.
I would love to see it.
Gabe gives like these answers sometimes. where he's giving you all these like big words and saying a lot of things. He's saying something in there, but you kind of got to get through the weeds to figure out what he's saying.
Correct.
I can't wait for his daily press conferences. Oh my goodness.
It's great. It's going to be fun.
A buddy of mine texted me yesterday. My buddy Rusty, he goes, this thing with the PlayStation and the story that broke with Santana, that it looks really, he goes, it looks really bad for Gabe. You know, it doesn't look good. He goes, first bad losing streak. Gabe is toast due to this Fortnite crap. I go, I hope not, because I like imitating him. I don't want Gabe to go away.
Nah.
I wish Gabe success, too. I heard that interview that Mike did with Gabe, and I liked what I heard.
Well, I talked about it. I said that was the best I'd heard him.
It was like he cut through the crap.
Yeah, he also said, you know, what I liked was that he wasn't going to overmanage.
Yeah, big thing. All right, I don't think we can see it on our board, but he's there. The man.
Oh, we got DJ?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Let us go to the incredible basketball mind, horse racing mind, and voice of Penn State. He is Dick Girardi. DJ.
Anthony, what's happening, buddy?
All right, can you give me some insights? What I mean about the Phil Martelli, were you shocked? What was your sense when that came down? You heard about it.
I was definitely surprised. Phil signed a contract in 2015, and I thought he told me it was for 5 years, which means it would have been up at the end of next season. So I don't know what the ins and outs were at St. Joe's, like how the decision was made or anything that happened. I texted with Phil and said, hey, just wanted to let you know I was thinking of your family, and he texted me back, God bless. I haven't actually talked to him. So why exactly it happened now, I don't know. Obviously, the record the last 3 years has not been good. I think you can give him a legitimate excuse 3 seasons ago when his point guard tore his ACL in the first Day 10 game. Then last season, the two starters missed the entire year, including Fresh Kimball and Charlie Brown, who was going to be two of his best players. This year, they didn't start off well in the A-10. They were picked second. And then they had some injuries, but they already weren't playing well. So, again, it's 3 years that they didn't have a winning record. And before that, we know the rest of the record. We know it from the beginning. But why exactly it happened now, I just don't know.
Dick, what does St. Joe think it is? Like, that program the only way you can win at St. Joe is if you get a kid that's really talented in the city and you convince him to stay home and you go get a foreign guy to pair with him or something. And you make shift it like that. Otherwise, you got no chance competing with Villanova.
Clearly they don't, and neither does anybody else in the city. I mean, Villanova's just leapfrogged everybody. And hell, I mean, they're 2-time national champs in the last 3 years. Here's what I would say. Let's put it in context. And look, you were there with me at the beginning of this. We were on some of those trips together.
Yes.
And we used to go out with him. And one of the many things I think all of us in the media liked about Phil was how media-friendly he was. Practices were open. You wanted to watch film with him, you could do it. Very unparanoid, like a lot of the programs around college basketball. But had immediate success. His first year, they were in the NIT final. His second year, they were in the Sweet 16 out in Salt Lake City. We know about the Jameer Delonte seasons, the fact that they had two NBA draft choices, first-rounders as their backcourt. It will never happen again in the history of St. Joe's basketball. So that was kind of a miracle, and that's all the credit to Phil and his coaching staff and the players. And did it fall off a couple of years after Jameer left? It did. It didn't fall off for a while, but it did fall off. But they won the A-10 in 14 with Langston Galloway and that crew, and they won it again in 16 with DeAndre Bembry. So they've been in the NCAA twice in recent seasons, but again, the last three weren't good. We explained the reasons, I think, why two of them weren't good, two of the seasons, but the decision was made. And again, I don't have, if I were covering it, I'm just not covering it anymore.
Right,
I have better insight. I just don't know.
Hey, Dick, when you look at St. Joe's and where do they go from here, do they try and find somebody with local ties? Is that the likely succession plan, or is this a pseudo nationwide search?
Yeah, it's interesting because for the first time in forever, there aren't St. Joe's people in the two highest positions that will probably decide this. Dr. Reed, the president, is not a St. Joe's guy. And Jill, I hope I get her name right, Bodensteiner, the new AD, is from Notre Dame. She came in last season.
Right.
This is only her first season. So yeah, from that standpoint, they don't have the typical St. Joe's ties. And it was funny, Phil was the first coach hired at St. Joe's who wasn't a St. Joe's grad, going way back, you know, before, like, Jack Ramsey.
Right.
So, you know, even though he was an assistant there for 10 years, even he wasn't part of the family. So I don't know that that'll be any part of the discussion this time, just because of who the people are in charge. But obviously, Board of Trustees members, there'll be other people who have some input, I would think.
Do you, we're talking to Dick Girardi, do you look at, like, I know a guy that is really interested in coaching would be Tim Legler.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, to me, if I was St. Joe's, I thought LaSalle was dumb not to go up to Tim Legler. I know they had a little money issue, but LaSalle goes on the cheap. If I'm St. Joe's, I think Legs would be a great hire.
Well, it's interesting. Timmy and I had that conversation at the Final Four in 2017, where he told me off the record, I mean, now it's well known that he wants to coach, that he was interested, and I think he certainly got a big play at LaSalle last year. But look, he got Ashley Howard, who was a top assistant of the two-time national champion Villanova guy with great Philly ties, so I can't say they were wrong. Timmy probably would have been a little bigger splash because of his time on ESPN, but I would think he had more of an in at LaSalle where he's a grad than St. Joe's, because Bill Bradshaw, the AD, certainly knew Timmy. He was the AD when Tim played there, or at least for part of it, I think. So, yeah, I don't think they would go that way. I really don't know what they would do or how fast they want to do it. But, you know, to me, Anthony and Jason, today's about Phil. It's just about the tenure that he's had, and not just the impact on basketball at St. Joe's, but his impact in the city. I mean, he's just a media-friendly guy, and the Coaches versus Cancer, he and Fran Dunphy, now realizing next season, not only is Dump not going to be here, neither is Phil. The Big Five will definitely not be the same.
Yeah, that's almost, that's a lot of change for
in
this city. Yeah, can you see Phil Martelli ended up doing some analyst work on television? He'd be great at it.
No question. He's a natural. I could see him doing that. I kind of got the sense, guys, that Phil was hoping to finish out, and I haven't talked to him recently, this contract, and maybe that was going to be his last contract anyway. Again, I'm not privy to the discussions that must have happened either in the last few days or in the last weeks about the future. But, yeah, I got a sense he was ready anyway, or getting close to being ready. I mean, keep in mind, he was at St. Joe's for half of his life.
Right.
As an assistant under Jim Boyle and then John Griffin. Of course, he's been the head coach since 95. But I think he's ready for that. But I just get the sense, since there was no quotes from Phil in the statement, that he might not necessarily have been on board with this.
Right.
At this moment, at least that's my impression. Nobody's told me that, but if it was a retirement or a resignation, it probably would have been handled a little differently than it was.
No question. Yeah.
But that's unfortunate. But again, I just don't know who said what to who, and I wish I had some insight, but I don't.
Yeah, I feel you. All right, brother. Real quick, while we got you, some tourney stuff.
Yes, sir.
All right, so let's look at it. Temple, tough one tonight against Belmont.
Yeah, Belmont's a 3-point favorite, and for people that have never seen them, and there's no reason anybody in Philadelphia would have seen Rick Bird's team, this is one of the greatest half-court offensive teams you'll ever see. And to have to play them with essentially no preparation, what Temple found out, what, about 6:15 Sunday night they were playing Belmont, and then they had to get on a plane yesterday. That's a very, very tough go to play against a team with this kind of an intricate offense. Having said that, it's a 50-50 game. Belmont's a short favorite. If Temple is on, they'll certainly have a realistic chance. And, you know, what's interesting, I think if Temple wins, I absolutely think they could beat Maryland down in Jacksonville, because Maryland was fading at the end of the year. I mean, obviously, I saw them in the Big Ten. They just weren't very good at the end of the year.
Hey Dick, when you look at this Midwest bracket, is unbelievable, right?
Yep.
Who do you see coming out? I mean, you got UNC is the one. You got Kansas, Kentucky, and this is a stacked bracket, probably the most difficult one to get out of in the entire tournament.
Right, and imagine if the three teams you just mentioned all get through to the 16s in Kansas City, right? KU, UK, and UNC. I mean, really, that would be one of the toughest tickets in basketball history. Somebody, a Kansas City writer, put out, I think yesterday on Twitter, like, they could move it to Arrowhead and put a dome over it and can still sell 100,000 tickets. So, yeah, it is. The Midwest is by far the toughest bracket to get through, to find a way to get to Minneapolis. I think North Carolina has the most talent. I don't think Kansas is all that good, but if they're in Kansas City, that gives them a big edge. And Kentucky, with just the last month of the season,
you could see
they were peaking at the right time.
Yeah, it's all those blue bloods fascinating. All right, how about Nova? Let's look at Nova for a second. So it's funny because I think they match up against Purdue. And you covered the Big Ten, so you see them.
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting. I actually think this is going to sound crazy to people. I think their tougher matchup is the first matchup.
I said the same thing. St. Mary's is tougher matchup.
Yeah, because of the way St. Mary's plays. They play real slow. I think Jay mentioned in the paper yesterday, they'll run 30 seconds off the shot clock, shoot. If they get the rebound, they'll run another 30. So now you're playing defense for a minute. So they're kind of like a running football team. If they have the ball and control the situation, you just feel like the game's getting short. You get antsy. So, yeah, that's the kind of game you want to play if you're Villanova from in front. You do not want to play from behind in that game. And Ken, it's a six-point spread, but Ken Pom, which you know I use all the time, they have it as a one-point game. They have Villanova 66-65, so that's a little scary. Purdue, if that's the next game, if Villanova does win, has overachieved all year. They lost four starters from last year's team and 5,000 points, astonishingly tied for the Big Ten title. But I think their record is better than their team. They have a great coach in Matt Painter, but I would give Villanova a huge shot in that game if they get through.
Dick, a team on opening weekend, number one seed, they could get knocked out. Gonzaga, the most likely team, and probably at the hands of Syracuse?
You know, that's a scary game just because of the zone. It was interesting. I was in the sports book at Parks on Sunday night doing something. I know, Anthony, you were going to be there with me.
Yeah.
Are you feeling better?
No, I'm feeling horrible.
You don't sound too good. Yeah, well, you're gutting your way.
It looks good.
That's what you do. Anyway, a guy said to me, he says, you know what? Gonzaga played Washington earlier this year and won by a deuce. And Washington's coached by Mike Hopkins, who was Boeheim's top assistant, and they play the same zone Syracuse does. So if I were Gonzaga, I'd hope that Syracuse gets beat because that is a dangerous second game. But I like Gonzaga. In fact, I picked them to win the whole thing because they have the best offense in the country. To me, the team that's always the most potentially getting beat is Virginia, not because of what happened last year.
They just don't score enough.
Exactly. There's just so few possessions in the game that if they don't go right and you find yourself behind, then you can get a little tight, which is what happened to them last year against UMBC.
All right, brother. Great stuff. Real quick, does Duke, who beats Duke?
It may be nobody. Yeah. I mean, look, they are by far the best team. I don't even think it's a close call. I mean, Zion's ridiculous. They have one problem. They can't shoot.
Yeah.
30% on threes. So if they have one of those games where they're 1-for-17 and they're playing somebody that hits 10 threes, and they're really good at guarding the three. But if they do that, I don't think you can win if you get outscored 30-3 from the three-point line. That would be my concern. But frankly, in the East bracket, the only team I think would have a shot, and I don't think they would have much of a shot, is Nova if they have one of those nights where they shoot 40 threes and make 15 of them. That's what they'd have to do. But right. I don't think they could possibly guard Duke around the basket. I mean, it would be a dunkathon.
Yeah. I was thinking Michigan State, maybe.
And maybe if they had all their players.
Yeah.
But they're down Langford. He's not going to play. He hasn't played for months. They just lost another rotation player. Izzo's done a marvelous job to get them where they are. And you know what? Of all the success Izzo's had, he is one guy he can't be. Can't beat. It's the guy with the K in his name. They
can't
beat Duke when they play.
It's true. Great stuff, my brother. Thanks so much, man, as always.
Thanks, Dick.
You got it, guys.
There
he is. Dick Girardi. We love talking to Dick. He's terrific.
He's always great on the tournament. And great insight on Phil Martelli being fired from St. Joe's today as well. And I agree with Phil. You tend to think, looking at the press release, no quotes from Phil, that this wasn't something that he was on board with.
Yeah.
Clearly, if that were the case, it would have been a step down or retirement,
think about it, right?
Or whatever.
So the new AD comes in from Notre Dame.
Mm.
No ties to Philadelphia. There's no, she doesn't know Phil Martelli from, Phil Booth, right?
Wow.
And is what it is. And you can just say it.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you just wouldn't at least. You got to come together with him. I mean, the guy deserves respect.
Yeah. 24 years as the head coach at St. Joe's. Did some great things.
You can't go in what next year, give him these 25 years and then...
Yeah, it's a good point, too. Have the that anniversary of 25 years.
You know, like you give him the shot at the end of his contract, right? And 25 Temple, years. And
look what Temple did with Fran.
Say, here you go, Phil.
Yeah.
Here's your, you know, this is your year. You got to make the play. You got to make the tournament. You got to, you know, have an upswing, uptick.
Yeah.
Doesn't work out, you move on.
Yeah, well, it's not to be, Anthony, and we'll see if he ends up in broadcasting because, like Dick said and we said earlier, he'd be great at it. There's no question about that.
Yes, he would.
610-632-0975, that's the number to get in. It is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez on the Fanatic.
All right. Bet with the best sports book that caters to the 4-for-4 fan. Parks Casino, Pennsylvania's number one casino. I got a great suggestion for you for Thursday and Friday. Make sure you go to Parks, watch all the games, hang out. Man, that sports book is awesome. All the TVs, you got the tellers and you got the kiosks right all there. You don't have to move. Then if you do want to move, go right to Chickies and Pete's and watch all the games over there. They got great spots. Parks Grill, Liberty Bell Gastro Pub, the new beer garden. You watch all the games and place all the bets for the tournament. It is a lot of fun. You also download the free bet slip builder app. It lets you plan out all your bets from anywhere with the latest odds. Go check it out, man. It's a lot of fun. Parks Casino, PA's number one casino. You also can do it at the Philadelphia Turf Club, right? The South Philly Turf Club, which is now the Racing Sportsbook in South Philly, and the Valley Forge Racing Sportsbook, which was the Valley Forge, the turf club, right there in Oaks off of 422. Make sure you go to Parks. That's right. Must be 21. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
O'clock hour brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Philly proud and Philly strong for over 49 years. To find out more, visit injurylawyer.com.
All right. Welcome back. Midday Show. Jason Matisse, I'm Anthony Gargano. What's the matter?
Nothing.
All right.
Nah. Just chilling.
Oh, jeez.
Mike's mad at me. But what else?
I want to be the mediator.
Don't call it a mediator when you mean pop star. don't try and pull the wool over these eyes.
It's
not
going
to work.
It's funny.
Should we give away a pair of tickets to a Sixers game against the Brooklyn Nets and a spot in knockout?
Sure.
Now you got to get on the mend here, dude. This is 9 days away. You got to get out there and show your technique at the free throw line.
Yeah.
You got good technique. You know what I'm saying?
I can shoot, but I can't move.
Well, that's a good thing. You're at the free throw line. You know, it's not like you got a dribble drive here. Right now, up for grabs, two tickets to the Sixers game against the Nets, a spot in knockout on the Sixers court after the game. You can also register for a spot in the competition on our contest page. Do that at 975thefanatic.com. All right, let's go with AI. Number three, third caller on the contest line at 215-263-0975. That'll score you a spot for the third caller in our knockout game, and you'll enjoy the game there that night at the Wells Fargo Center as we're coming down the stretch of the NBA season.
That's right.
Wow, it's a stretch run. Crazy that it's gotten to this point already. But let's get back to the phones. Let's go to the man. Hawk in the Northeast is on the Fanatic. What's up, Hawk?
What's going on, fellas?
Hawk.
How you doing?
Hawk.
What's happening? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Loud and clear.
Okay, yeah. I wanted to say I agree with you, Jason, and now you, Anthony. This game against Boston is huge, man. Right now, this is what it's all about, because there's 10 to 11 games left in the season. It's not 72 games left. All of the veteran teams in the NBA, they understand that. Look at what the Spurs are doing. Look at what the Houston Rockets are now putting together, okay? Every time Boston gets in trouble, once Boston gets in trouble and they struggle, okay, they've been up and down, it's like, oh, well, we just knocked the snot out the Sixers and we're right back. We can puff our chest out again. So what you need to do in this game right here, this has playoff ramifications, implications, whatever word you want to use, okay? When this game here, they need to take and make a statement toward the Celtics. This isn't about talent versus talent.
I hear you, bro. I do. But let me ask you one question.
Go ahead.
The Bucks game. Did you feel good about the Bucks? Like, I felt great about the Milwaukee game.
Absolutely. You know what? In that game, it was big. You felt it from the opening tip. You see how Ben ran over and just wanted to touch the ball. That's exactly what this game...
Jimmy was huge in that game.
Exactly. And that's why I wanted to compliment Brett Brown, because this isn't about this isn't about talent versus talent. This is about overcoming some of the looks of some of the schemes and systems that a lot of these teams have done against you, like sagging off of Ben Simmons. Brett Brown needs to show, okay, if you're going to sag off of Ben, we're going to do this. And that puts a little bit in Brad Stevens' pocket to where he says, oh, man, I can't do that. Because guess what? When you come in the playoffs, guess what they're going to do? They're going to sag off of Ben Simmons again. So I'm definitely on board with you guys. This is a huge game, and veteran teams understand. It's about getting hot at the end of the season. It's the team that comes into the playoffs that's hot and playing the best basketball. So by all means, they need to go out and say, if they're up and down, let's put them out of their misery, man. Like, they're not going to use us anymore. So I would say, let's go out and try to win it.
I wasn't saying don't win it. I just said I'm not going to be shook.
Right, I know, but the psychological advantage of it for the team, because you have to put it together. Like, you have to start to show what you're capable of. You have to. Everyone else is playing playoff basketball right now.
Yeah.
No, I mean, look, and Hawk, thanks for the call. The Sixers did that in Milwaukee. I mean, they played. You could see the intensity on both teams in that game. Giannis was ready to go. I mean, that was an intense basketball game. But I know what you saw. What you saw out of Jimmy, and that was the big thing both you and I took out of that game. That, I mean, he is the X factor for this team to go to an Eastern Conference final and challenge to get to an NBA final. Jimmy. And if you can get that, and you saw it, and you go, okay, that's it. That's the tape. And in some ways you go, well, I don't want to see another opportunity where that doesn't happen to now tamper that did happen. To temper my enthusiasm going forward. But to me, I want to double down on it and go, if I need Jimmy to be that guy again tomorrow night against Boston, a team they've struggled with, then I want to know, I'll know twice as much that he did it two times in a row when they needed it. Now, it is tough. Ty brought it up. To beat Milwaukee and Boston in two out of three games in just a couple of days is tough, and the Sixers will be on a back-to-back. I get it. But I want to see the full complement tomorrow night, and I want to see... Not Brett Brown out-coach Brad Stevens, but not hinder the team in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And part of that is going to be, you know, isolating Jimmy Butler and getting him into situations where if there's a run, that he can stop it by getting Jimmy the ball.
Yeah, I don't think it should be that hard.
It's not rocket science, right?
It shouldn't be that hard. I just think, look, they showed you that they could beat Milwaukee. If they lose to Boston in the playoffs, it's, you know, going to go down to one guy.
Yeah. Jason in Lancaster's on the Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
How's it going, guys? Hey, I want to circle back to the conversation you guys were having regarding e-gaming. But, you know, what I wanted to say in regards to Sixers, though, you know, I think that, like, what you're going to see in that second round, because obviously everyone's already anticipating meeting Toronto in that second round, I think that's where, Jason, you're going to see... Like, you're going to see the selflessness from a defensive standpoint of Jimmy Butler, because I think that he understands that's a seven-game series that he's ultimately going to have to put the clamps on Cowie. And what I mean by that is he's the only person on the team that can give Cowie the fit that he's going to be able to give him defensively. And I think that that's what, you know, we're going to see in that second round. And I don't see him being a big part of the offensive game, but I see him obviously being a big part down in the crucial, you know, last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. From an offensive standpoint.
Well, he may be the only player for the Sixers that almost benefits from that matchup, right, Ant?
Yeah. Exactly. I completely agree with that 100%. But real quick, because, man, I love you, bro. Like, I do, but I think what you need is... I think you have kids, right?
Yeah.
You have two daughters?
Two sons.
Oh, two sons. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. So, like, I have a 13-year-old son, and it's just like, you know, as a father who was an athlete, you know, growing up, I played every single sport, like... I have empathy for my son because, like, he wants to play sports and, like, he's very good. Like, he wrestles, he plays baseball, he just started track and everything. But, like, the kids, like, their attention span is just not as ours was. You know, when you think about it, like, we instantly, like, these kids have instant access where when we grew up, like, the TV was set on a channel and you watched the full game. There was nothing to, like, distract you as much as it does now for these kids. So, like,
yeah, but hold on. Yeah. Empathy is one thing. But you still can't let it manifest itself. You still have to try and help them get through it so they're not lost.
No, I completely agree. What I'm saying with my son is like, because I'm so focused on just like observing like what he does. And I'm like, look, when he wrestles, when he's on a mat or when he's on a baseball.
I'm not talking about sports. I'm talking about life. Yeah, like I feel you. I was talking about life. I wasn't talking about sports. I don't care. Listen, I just want my kids to be happy and to be able to carve out a life for themselves. The sports stuff, I just wanted to share that for the rest of their lives. That's it. It's just a thing that I've shared with my cousin, my father, you know.
Yeah, it's a bond.
Sport. That's it.
It's a bonding experience.
I don't expect them to play college athletics, or I don't care what they do. Whatever their passion in life is, I want them to follow it.
Yeah.
I just don't want them to lose life inside of a screen.
610.
That's the only thing.
Yeah, 610-632-0975. Mikey Miss coming up at the top of the hour. Stay tuned. But I got to tell you about Window Nation, because spring, it's tomorrow. Oh, can you believe it? Temperatures are warming. And are your windows tough to open, maybe cracked, drafty? Those are all signs that you need new windows. So what do? You spring into action now for huge Window Nation savings. Get two free windows for every two you buy, which means if you buy four, you get four free with no limit. Plus, get a house of windows for only $69 a month. Now, not only do you get two free windows for every two you buy, but you're also getting brand new energy efficient Window Nation windows installed for just about $2 a day. Think about that. It's less than a cup of coffee, gallon of gas, gallon of milk. It's less than all of those things. So now's the time to take advantage of this limited time event. Window Nation offers over 1,500 custom window and door style combinations designed and engineered to tame our wild weather conditions here on the East Coast, all with an A-plus Better Business rating. It just isn't getting better. So buy two windows, get two free, no limit, plus get a full house of windows for as low as $69 a month. But hurry, this offer is not going to last long. So call Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, or visit windownation.com and tell them Jason sent you.
Totally satisfied sexually.
What up?
Let me ask you a question of positive.
All right.
You know, you see the phenomenon of video games, right?
Every day.
Right? Like, you know, just it's not just video gaming. It's everything. I was telling you about the VR goggles, right?
Like, yeah.
It's our reality is changing. We have a different reality. And I'm not making a judgment, because I think people misconstrue. You sound low. I'm not making a judgment on it. It's just, you see the change, which is a change in realities. So I'm virtual reality, right? I'm going to take you into another world. And the changes that you've seen in the last 10 years, this decade, has been a lot quicker. If you take 1990 to 2010, the technological advancement is nowhere near what happened from 2010 to now.
Yeah, the big one.
I gave you 20 years, 30, even 30 years.
Yeah,
right. Like to now, it's a different world.
Oh yeah,
and so it's going to change even further. The more advanced we get, everything kind of moves, and it'll move quickly. And my question to you is, and I know you can't think about it now, and it's probably not going to happen in our lifetime, probably not, but, or maybe this is, are we on the back nine of sports?
You mean?
Of human beings physically playing sports.
Or is it going to end up being esports, one, two?
Where everything is so, like, the graphics, the technology is almost a blend of human movement and technology.
So in 25 years, are people going to sit down on their Sunday afternoon, instead of watching a kickoff of an NFL game, they're going to watch the kickoff of a video game?
Yeah, or yeah, yeah.
Because that's just the way.
I don't know.
Technology driven society. I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. It's a great question. I mean, there's some things, like obviously it's going to be bigger. Esports is going to get bigger, bigger and bigger. And robotics and all those things. I've watched drone racing, which is incredible. Will it replace it completely? I don't know.
Wasn't the question whether it's going to replace it completely. My question was, right now, is it on the back nine?
I don't think so. Because I think
it's not on the back nine?
I don't even think there is a back nine. I think there's just sustenance there, but it may be on a different level. Because what is it going to be? You're right, when this young generation of kids now grow up. You know, and then the generations that are going to come after them, we don't know.
No, it's not the generation of kids that I'm looking at. It's the technology and the advancement that comes at warp speed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting question.
It just changes our reality. It's all it is. I'm not saying one's better. No, I'm not giving you the get off my lawn or anything like that. I'm just telling you, the change, it's changed. Now, you look at medicine and the incredible advancements that has been made in the medical field.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's amazing. But again, the technology advancements, it's a fascinating subject.
Yeah, I remember writing a paper when I was in college or high school, maybe my senior year of high school, about the information superhighway. That's what it was called. The internet was going to be called. And I remember writing this paper, and I'm writing it and researching and everything, and I'm going, wow, this is insane. Like, you're going to be able to go on all these, I don't even think they called them websites at the time, and find out all this information. Like, I don't need an encyclopedia anymore once that happens. I remember thinking that. Because everybody, remember, you had your Encyclopedia Britannica salespeople that would come around the neighborhood, and you'd stock a big bookshelf in your house with these huge books. Well, they're not needed anymore. And then you see the effect of Amazon on brick and mortar, you know, retail and everything else. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Where it's going, I don't know. But you're right, it's moving at warp speed. And it's picking up momentum.
Yeah, we just change. I mean, we can see with our own children.
Yeah, you're right. It's an interesting thing to ponder. I just don't see live sports ever going into a back nine or anything like that.
Now, this has nothing to do with sports, but guess what? My school district just got rid of cursive.
Yeah.
Not even teaching it anymore.
Yeah, that's
really?
Yeah.
I did it in third and fourth grade. Those were the only 2 years that I learned it. And now it's completely gone from my school district.
What, because they just type?
Typing and just print.
Cambria font. They teach that now or something?
Yeah, probably.
Ariel.
Helvetica.
Yeah. Times Roman. All right.
Times Roman.
Interesting program today. Stay tuned. Mikey Miss is coming up next. He's got you 2 to 6. And our handoff is brought to you by Philadelphia Hand to Shoulder Center. Specialized care for all hand, wrist, arm, elbow, and shoulder injuries and conditions. For more info, you can always visit their website, handtoshouldercenter.com. All right. And you got to rest up. And how you feeling? You feeling all right? The eyes are a little barely open, should I say?
Well, you don't understand. That's the worry. You know, and the kids get sick. That's what happens.
Yeah, it happens quite often, more often than we'd like. Well, rest up, and we'll be back tomorrow to break down Sixers, Charlotte, and Flyers Habs. Have a great day, everybody. Mikey Miss next on The Fanatic.